Rearview Theater is back. We continue our journey through the Fast and Furious universe. Rat number 4, Fast and Furious. No thes, no numbers, just Fast and Furious. This one feels like a complete reboot, basically, from what we saw from the first 3 movies. Tell you, if you like these movies, if you like the crashes, the speed, the nonsensical nature of these things, you'll love this movie. I had trouble, though. So many things don't make sense. But that's not what these movies are all about. Fair to say Mark's a bigger fan of these than I am, so far. Maybe they'll get better, for me, at least. We'll find out. He's Mark Mageau, I'm Corey Graham. Coming up right after Whale and the Wolf. So you thought we might have forgot about it. You know, we had the Disney Plus series, we had Andor for 12 weeks, so you figured, you know what? Maybe they won't go back to their Fast and Furious journey. You would be wrong, my friend, because here we are. And it's not there's no thes in this, it's Fast and Furious. This is the 4th one, Mark. Were you as excited to watch this as... No, I think you probably were a bit more excited to watch this than I was.
Excitement maybe isn't the word I would use. I was intrigued to jump back into this universe because it's been a while, man. It's been since, I think, late August was the last time we chatted about a Fast and Furious movie. It took a couple months to get Tokyo Drift out of... I guess we needed a bit of a palate cleanser, I guess, to put it mildly, and that's what Disney Plus was doing for us. But let's go back, man. This is 4 out of 9. We're almost halfway there. And... Was this one kind of like a soft reboot? Did they reboot this franchise on the fly? Because that's kind of what I got the first, like, 2 minutes of this movie.
I wrote down one of my favorite lines from The Simpsons to sum this one up. It's Malibu Stacy with a new hat. Like, that's what this movie is. It is the first one, updated for the times a little bit, and it's soft reboot, sure. I mean, they're taking all your characters... They're putting them in the same spots and starting over again, and it's like it legitimately is the first one redone.
Yeah, they are running everything back, and this was, listen, there's people who love this franchise, but I really feel like this is kind of where it begins. This is the first movie where Vin Diesel really gets his paws on it. Like, he's a producer on these movies now moving forward. It kind of started with this. They retconned Tokyo Drift. So that takes place after this movie now.
Right.
So if you think the Marvel timeline's confusing, try to make sense of the Fast and Furious timeline with all this stuff kind of going on. But I said this is a soft reboot in that you could really, and I apologize to you and everyone who's listened, you probably could have skipped the first 3 movies and just jumped in with this one. In fact, you did skip the first 3 movies and just jumped in with this one. No, it was an accident, but you really didn't miss too much, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's go back. If you have been following us along, and I really don't blame you if you haven't been, but I watched this one the first time. We started the Fast and the Furious journey, and I just pulled up, you know, Google Fast and Furious, pulled it up on Crave and not really thinking, watched it, and was like, man, they just dropped you right in the middle of this, not realizing it's the 4th one, and basically it's the same name as the first one. They just got rid of the articles and the sentence to make it Fast and Furious. Like... I remember them doing this. I remember when it was released that they talked about how they couldn't even come up with a new name or a subtitle or anything. They just basically renamed it. So I fell for it. It's like clicking on a Twitter post that doesn't have the blue check. And you're like, oh my God, it's... No, wait a second. That's what happened to me with this one.
This movie was released April 3rd, 2009. It was directed by Justin Lin, written by Chris Morgan. Both of those gentlemen are stalwarts in the Fast and Furious franchise. It is starring Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster. It had a budget of $85 million, and it grossed over $360 million. The plot of this movie is Toretto and O'Connor are forced to team up to apprehend a drug lord with whom Toretto holds a personal grudge. You could probably just... copy and paste that for a few of those movies, those two teaming up. The reception, critics did not like this movie, surprise, surprise. It has 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. But however, I was able to find a couple positive reviews of Fast and Furious. Lisa Schwarzenbaum of Entertainment Weekly, she gave this movie, wait for it, a B+. And I kind of agree with what she has to say about this. She says, Fast and Furious is still no Point Break, but it's perfectly aware of its limited dramatic mission. It offers attractive getaway routes from self-importance, snark, and chatty comedies about male bonding. Now, Kirk Honeycutt of The Hollywood Reporter said, it's the first true sequel of the bunch.
Yep.
Which kind of goes back to, like, it really follows up with where these characters are and where they're kind of going. And Roger Ebert was also shockingly positive about Fast and Furious.
He likes these
Roger
movies, Ebert, though, right? Like, he's liked all of them a little bit.
He does. And about this one, he said, "I admire the craft involved, but the movie leaves me profoundly indifferent. After three earlier movies in the series, which have been transmitted into video games, why do we need a fourth one? Oh, I just answered my own question." So maybe he doesn't like it as much as I made it seem, but he wasn't out on these movies.
I think
it's like there's just enough there to keep the critics and the fans coming back. This movie made $360 million.
I think I might use that line when somebody says, "How you doing?" Profoundly indifferent. That kind of sums it up most of the time.
That is a good one. Do you understand where these... Listen, I liked this one because I really think this is the one where it did become self-aware of what it is. Like this movie, they've all been ridiculous, but in this movie, Dom Toretto is a legitimate, like, Superman. He gets shot in the back and doesn't really miss a beat at any point in this movie. So I really think they doubled down. This is kind of when they doubled down on the ridiculous of it and just was able to really go forward with all that.
There's a scene in this movie where he's holding a car engine up by a chain with one hand.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
certainly tell Vin's the producer, hey? I mentioned this is when it becomes Vin's franchise. And it's very, I think, rare in this day and age to create your own franchise that doesn't exist off anything, you know? Like, Vin Diesel kind of willed these franchises to become a billion-dollar franchise. And I do think that is fairly impressive, that they kind of started this from nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It is impressive that they started this from nothing. It's just like, we talked about waiting to see when it goes off the cliff. I mean, it's teetering right now. I mean, the fact that this one person can hold up an engine with his bare hand, I was like, okay, I guess he's Superman now. And let's start at the beginning of this. So this movie opens up with them, with a heist of them taking down a gas truck. And now, why are they doing this? They tell you that the street value is $1.4 million. But no, they're doing this to fill up their cars for racing. Now, don't they race for pink slips of these $100,000 cars? Why the hell are they risking their lives stealing gas when this is a group of people that, I mean, to put $60 in the tank probably isn't that big of a deal when you're betting your car, but here they are taking this huge heist on an absolutely empty road in the middle apparently nowhere where no one else travels and taking down a gas truck. It makes no sense.
Yeah, that goes back to this is a soft reboot. Is this almost shot for shot the first scene from the first movie, despite they just swap out gas for DVD players? Because that's the vibe that I got from
Absolutely.
This, right? I think this was when they really doubled, like, they don't expect us to read the fine print of these movies. I think they just expect us to watch car chases and Vin Diesel be a hero. And I think that first scene really sums it up. And I think it sets the tone for, hey, listen, turn off your logic brain. If you're looking here for logic, the Fast franchise might not be for you.
Oh, yeah, especially as we move forward. And, I mean, I know we kind of make fun of how dumb cops are in these movies, but Vin Diesel is the only person in the world that can figure out what's going on when all the clues are there. And apparently none of these investigators, FBI, cops have even bothered to think about what's going on. And Vin solves it all. Like, he's in the right place at the right time all the time throughout this movie, and he's the only person that's put two and two together. So, yeah, there is no logic. There is no logic and no kind of... If you want to sit down and think your way through this movie, that's not what it's for. And that's fine, too, right? Like, this is a movie for escapism. That's all this is. This is a movie for, I mean, just to stereotype it, young adult men that want to see things blow up.
Is Brian O'Connor the worst cop that we root for in movies? And what I mean by worst, like, let's take out... You know, like Frank Drebin from Naked Gun. Let's take out Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons. We are led to believe that Paul Walker is like a good... Well, he's an FBI agent, I think, in this one, right? Is that he gets promoted? Or has he always been FBI?
I thought he was a cop, and then he was the youngest cop ever undercover. Now he's an FBI undercover, despite when he was a cop letting the guy go at the end. Like, there's no reason for them to ever trust this guy ever again, and yet here he is working with the FBI.
Yeah, and that's... I feel like they're trying to make... I guess they want us to think that Dom is the anti-hero or the villain of these movies, but I feel like they didn't do enough... Like, who... They want us to root for Dom, But is that made clear enough that we're supposed to root for Dom in these movies? I know, like, there's a lot of things that Dom does in this movie that are quite comical. But was it clear to you that we're supposed to be rooting for this guy? Like, he's a criminal. He ends up in jail at the last scene of the movie. Not for long, apparently. But who are we? Who are the good? Are the car thieves the good guys? And we're rooting against F? Like, who? I just feel like people's motivations aren't really clear in this movie.
Yeah, it's like you're watching a gang war and you have to root for one of the two gangs, right? Like, it's, which is kind of silly. I mean, really, the cops should be the good guys. So I guess Brian O'Connor should be a good guy, even though, like, apparently he can be found out and well known as a street racer and well known as a double crosser, but still go undercover. Like, who's buying him undercover? Like, it's just, ugh.
And, you know, this is also the first one of these movies to really, you said it off the top. This is what, like, a modern movie kind of looks like, right? So, like, smartphones exist. Social media exist. I imagine it's a lot harder now for a policeman to go undercover than it was 20 years ago. Like, there are so many more ways to get found out. Yet he's still playing really fast and loose with a lot of those rules.
Oh, there are no rules. Like, there are no rules in this. I mean, that's pretty clear. But to go back to your point of who you're rooting for, I mean, I guess we're rooting for Vin, right? Like, I think you come in rooting for him, but really, why? Despite him thinking his sister got killed, and so now he's got to figure this out. And by the way, he's like Batman-level detective, too, hey? Like, there's a point in this, when he goes to the crime scene or the crash scene, and he can put and see the actual crash without having ever been there or seen anything, but yet he can look at it and visualize. Like, would you not like to have that skill of being able to look at the spot and, like, visualize what happened here before? Because I don't know how you get that.
I'm surprised the police just don't straight up hire Dom as their crime scene investigator. I jotted down, it's like a video game. Actually, I jotted down LMAO, Dom at the crime scene. This is like a video game. Because it is like you're playing one of the Arkham games and you have to scan for clues, right? He is able to piece together this entire car crash. Who did what, where? Also shocking that, you know, that crime scene was just fine after he gets there, right? Like, there's no hints that the police have been there before. It's like that road just hasn't been touched for days. And he can able to piece together everything. Is there anything Dom Toretto can't do, I guess, in these movies? Because his detective skills are off the charts. I did find that scene to be, like, laugh out loud comical.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing he can't do. And apparently, though, moving forward, I haven't watched the next ones, but I understand they do retcon this Letty thing about 15 times in the moving forward. So Dom doesn't see everything, I guess, but he's able to put together a visual of what happened in case we can't follow along. It just, like, and I know it's not, it's maybe it's just the way I watch movies, Mark, but the ridiculousness of this one takes me right out of it. I have trouble enjoying movies that are just turn your brain off completely and ignore logic, because I get it, you know, if I'm watching, I mean, Star Wars, you don't really have to, you know, it's not realistic, but there are some rules in the galaxy and their sides and things are addressed, where here it just seems like, I struggle with it.
This movie feels a lot like a lot of the action movies we saw in the 1980s.
Sure.
Like, I just watched Beverly Hills Cop recently, first time in a long time. I love that movie, but I forgot that opening scene in Beverly Hills Cop, they're actually, like, blowing up cars and semi-trucks, right? Like, the producers, Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson, that's what action movies were in the 80s. And I mentioned that review from Lisa Schwarzbaum from Entertainment Weekly. It's still no... She compared it to Point Break, which I think is so true, because there was a stretch for about 10 years when this is what every single action movie looked like, and people liked it for the most part, right? And then we kind of got away from that in the 90s. This feels like it's paying homage to these ridiculous Steven Seagal, Chuck Norris, kind of over-the-top action movies. Now, sometimes they go too far, but I really think that's kind of the vibe they're going for this. Like, Point Break is a ridiculous movie. Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch, but if you showed Point Break to, like, an 18-year-old right now, they'd think it's the most ridiculous movie ever made. But if you showed them this movie, I think they'd probably like it. So I just, maybe that our tastes have maybe changed, but I just feel like this is just such a throwback to what 80s movies used to be.
I do get that too. Like, it's a throwback to when you weren't supposed to really care about what happened. You were supposed to enjoy what was in front of you. And I would love to hear what James Cameron or Quentin Tarantino thinks about these movies, because, man, the way they've talked about superhero movies, what would they say about this?
Well, Dom is essentially a superhero in this movie, right? He is the hero. Do you think they would be like more negative towards it, or do you think they'd be positive because it is an original idea despite there being 9 incarnations of this?
I think they would appreciate the original idea, I guess. I just think that when you look at this, like, how does this script, when you read this script and you're like, none of this makes sense. Like, none of this would happen. So I just can't see anybody that considers themselves a filmmaker to want to do a movie that's just all explosions and car chases and, you know, that kind of stuff when there's really, the story is secondary.
It is the MacGuffin important in these movies? Because really, what is the plot of this movie? It's, you know, it's Dom and Brian working together to find a drug lord, but there's a border race at some point. There's all that kind of stuff. So what is the MacGuffin? Is it the drugs? Is it the Letty stuff? Like, what is the thing that's moving this movie forward for 95 minutes?
Like, I struggled with that, right? There's no, and I understand you don't always need a MacGuffin, and sometimes they're, you know, kind of shoehorned in to give you a reason. But all through this movie, I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, I get it. Your sister gets killed. Okay, that's the motivation. I get it. But then all of a sudden, we're chasing through these tunnels at the border, which apparently nobody knows about, except for you guys. You know exactly where they are, how strong they are, if you can drive through the wall to get in, all that stuff. I don't know. This movie just doesn't make any sense. And I'm sitting here, like, totally just not, I'm not happy with this movie, I guess, but it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I felt like for the first 20 minutes of this movie, there were two different stories going. Right, we have Dom and his crew. We also got to see Han from the Tokyo Drift, which I also love the way that they just were able to just slightly sneak in that line where Han has to go away and just says, I hear things are going off in Tokyo. And he basically looks down the barrel of the camera like he's Jim Halpert and then walks off screen for the next 5 or 6 movies. But I was kind of in for that. Okay, Dom's on the run. He's got to do this and this and this. All of a sudden, we cut over to Brian doing something that we think is unrelated to it. Didn't it seem like there were two scripts that they just kind of merged together and they tried to figure out the rest later?
Yeah. Like, planning didn't seem to be a step in this movie. It's like, this is cool. Yeah. This is cool. Oh, let's set up the other one that's out of the timeline. This will, people will figure that out. And it's like, it felt so forced that, oh yeah, there's stuff going on over there. Like, and you're right. Looked right down the barrel of the camera and then off he goes. And now, I mean, if you're not following along at home of what the timeline's like, you have no idea what's going on. You're like, wait, that guy's dead. So, okay, now we're back in the past, and then that guy's going to show up and be a main character in other movies in the future? Like, it's just, you talked about, trying to keep Marvel's timeline straight. Like, geez, trying to keep this one straight is brutal. And it starts from the beginning. I know we kind of jumped around, but that whole beginning scene, like, where a guy pulls an e-brake on a truck going 120 or whatever, then all of a sudden he's going backwards at the same speed, and it's no big deal. Dom gets shot through the window, and he's fine. Like, that truck driver is the worst truck driver ever, not noticing these people showing up. Like, he has Dom point to blank and shoots him and doesn't, like, he's just, I guess that window deflected the magic bullet or something. I don't know. But, like, this whole thing could have ended if Dom just got hit there and that's it. Story's over.
Wasn't that truck driver also reading a magazine?
Oh.
Did you catch that? Like, I don't know if that's a thing that truck drivers do. I imagine there are some long stretches where it is just straight and you can kind of coast, but that opening scene I really thought set the tone for, again, kind of what I said off the top, I think they're in on the joke. Do you think they're in on the joke? Do you think the writer, the director, the cast, are they? I feel like everybody is in on the joke except for Vin Diesel.
He thinks it's legit and everybody's like, this stuff is bat you know what crazy, right? And we're just going along. And Vin's like, I'm going to win an Oscar for this. Like, this is great. Look at what I'm doing here, you know? Like, I do. I think everybody's in on the joke of how, what could be more ridiculous? I know. Let's get a gas truck to roll down a highway in flames but not blow up because, you know, it is full of gas, and then we're going to have this, we're going to wait for it, and then boom, a huge explosion when it's perfectly timed well. Like, it just, none of it makes sense, and I think you're right. Everybody's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but we're going to make a bunch of money.
So when you pull up the Wikipedia plot for this, every third word is basically a link to a car that is driven in this movie. Now, you're a bigger car guy than I am. I know you're not as big as you used to be, but did the car porn do it for you? More so, like, I wasn't in on Tokyo Drift except for the Incredible Hulk car.
Yeah.
But for you, like, we got to see Dom's, I think it was a Chevelle he drives. Like, did the car porn do it for you in this one? Because there's even a Hummer. Were Hummers still cool? Like, yeah. Hummers aren't cool now, are they? All due respect to people who still drive Hummers, but they're kind of jokes now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you have a Hummer? I'm sorry if I'm outing you as a Hummer owner,
yeah.
But like,
yeah. Yeah, Mark, I own a Hummer. I drove a Hummer once and crashed it, but
I've heard that story many times. It's a great, we'll save that for the Patreon at some point.
It kind of would have fit into this movie considering what I drove the Hummer into. But anyway, yeah, like I'm not like, yeah, the car stuff, like, no, it doesn't do it for me. And like that, I realize I'm not the audience for that. I'm sure there's people out there going, whoa, look at that. That's cool. Like, guys that buy car magazines, if those are still things and stuff like that, I get it. But for me, I'm just like, cool, new car, cool. You know, like.
Do you have a favorite car from this movie, one that jumps out?
Honestly, man, I couldn't tell you what the cars were.
That's fair. Because I'll read you some of the ones.
Okay.
I did like Dom's Chevelle. I'm an amateur.
Sure.
I wouldn't even say enthusiast. I know nothing about cars. But here's some of the cars that are mentioned. There's the Nissan Skyline, which a couple guys who went to high school with had some of those. There was the Chevrolet Chevelle SS. There was the 1999 Hummer H1. There's the Subaru Impreza. Sorry, I'm bad at cars. And a Dodge Charger. Are any of those kind of floating your boat? Are the cars the stars of this movie?
I mean, yes, I think they are. I guess for me, I'm always more of a, if I had to choose, like, it would be an American muscle car, like Camaro or the Charger, that kind of thing. Like, that's probably more for me. Like, I'm not a big fan of the big spoilers on those little import race cars. Like, I just don't, that's not for me. But I guess if you want to look at big muscle cars, even though every time I look at them nowadays, I'm like, man, how much would it cost to fuel that thing?
Well, that's why they were stealing all that fuel in the first scene. It was expensive.
See, that would work in 2022, but maybe not in 2009.
It would be very true. So the two main characters, Brian and Dom, we've talked a lot about how Dom is a superhero. I really feel like when Vin came back to this franchise as a producer, I think there were the Vin rules. You know how the Pistons had the Jordan rules? I do think this franchise kind of had the Dom rules because... Really, does he ever show weakness at any point in these movies? No. He's holding up an engine with one arm. He is holding out a guy out of a window with one arm.
Yeah.
He gets shot in the opening scene. He gets shot in the back from about, 15 feet away in the final scene of this movie and doesn't even take a knee. Like, he just keeps on trucking. I guess it's why is Dom Superman? I guess is the question I'm trying to ask. And is that necessary for a movie like this? Like, I feel like all the stuff we've talked about was all just to make Vin Diesel look cooler. It doesn't really add on to the story itself, you know?
Yeah, it just feels like it's almost like Dom. Did he get turned down for Marvel? Like, in 2009, by this time, like, I know he ends up being Groot and all, but. It feels like he wanted to be a superhero, and he's like, well, they're not going to let me in, so I'm going to do my own. And, like, at what point does this guy wear a cape? You know, like, he is impenetrable.
Yeah, so here is what his films look like around this time. So Fast and Furious was 2009. He was also the writer, director, producer of a short film that was released around the same time as this to, I think, help connect the dots.
Yeah.
But he did Babylon AD, which I have no... recollection of seeing. He had a brief cameo in Tokyo Drift, which you can tell they probably added on way, way after the movie was being filmed. He did a movie called Find Me Guilty, which, have you seen Find Me Guilty?
No.
Yeah, nor have I. He did The Pacifier, and then he did The Chronicles of Riddick. So Vin was kind of in a down spot right now. I just don't know why they... He was given the keys to this franchise, and I just don't understand why, because he wasn't a monster star the way he is in 2022. Like, he used this franchise to prop himself up, and all the power to him, but I would just love to know the chain of events that led to Universal basically just handing the keys to the franchise to the guy who did The Pacifier 2 years before.
I didn't get it then. I don't get it now. Like, I've just... And I don't want to, you know, I feel like I'm crapping on everything, but I just never got Vin Diesel as a superstar. Like,
yeah,
same. I was never Triple X. No, I was not into it. And maybe it's just my personal likes and what I look for in a movie is just not my thing. So I don't want to say, oh, they're wrong, because maybe they're obviously not wrong. He's making the money and stuff. But for me personally, when I see Vin Diesel's name, I'm just like, I honestly think the project's not going to be as good.
So after Fast and Furious, after this came out in 2009, here is what Vin cranked out. Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6, Riddick, Guardians of the Galaxy, Furious 7, Triple X, The Return of Xander Cage, The Fate of the Furious, Guardians 2, Infinity War, Endgame, F9, and a brief cameo in Thor Love and Thunder. Apparently he's in the new Avatar movie, which I didn't know. He's got Guardians 3 coming out, Fast X, Fast and Furious 11, and Avatar 3. So really, Vin was able to springboard off this into billion-dollar franchises. And that guy, you know, if you look at his Guardians paychecks, the guy cashes a lot of paychecks for, what, 8 hours of work? And I know it's important work, like the character of Groot has evolution, all kind of stuff, but has anyone able to get springboard into so much success with such a mediocre franchise at this point? Because again, I enjoyed this movie. If I hadn't said it so far in the first 20 minutes, I did enjoy this movie for what it was. But has anyone been able to pull themselves up from less into more?
That's a good question. And like, and not become kind of like, I think there's been some actors, and mostly I find them comedic actors, that have kind of come out of nowhere, like, and had a run and then disappeared, you know? Like, I mean, Pauly Shore was a guy that, when I was a kid, Pauly Shore movies were funny, you know? Like, that was the thing. Mm-hmm. He was a big star. Now he's a joke. And I mean, maybe he's not. Maybe he's doing more things. I feel like, you know, he's not somebody you talk about anymore. But that's kind of where I feel like Vin Diesel is. He's like, he comes and he has his run, but his run has lasted really long. Like, and the Guardian stuff, yeah, it's, I mean, he says one line. I know he says it in different ways and different emotions, and then it's computer stuff on top of it, but I don't, like, when I think of the Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't associate Vin Diesel with it.
And he was able to become so powerful within this franchise, and you know, I do think this Fast franchise, we're getting kind of way off topic, not about this movie, but about the franchise in general, I think this is something that Universal Pictures holds really, really close, because of kind of what we talked about. This was kind of born out of nothing. They don't have to pay an author, they don't have to pay Marvel, DC. This is their own franchise, and so much so that, you know, the reason we're doing these recaps and re-watching for the first time is Fast X is coming out in May of 2023, and Vin has so much power that he was able to change directors almost midway through a shoot, and everyone seemed okay with that, right? Even Justin Lin was fine with walking away from that franchise. So does Vin have, like, did Vin's father witness the head of Universal Pictures' father commit a crime, and that's why Vin was given all this power in this franchise? Like, I truly do not understand one person having so much power over a franchise.
And it's weird because of all the co-stars that have come and gone too, right? Like, I mean, we just saw what The Rock did for Black Adam. I mean, did Vin win a face-off with The Rock for the future of this franchise? He's still involved and Dwayne Johnson's not? Like,
I believe he did.
Right.
I think that's why The Rock went and did Hobbs and Shaw with Jason Statham.
So, like, you're telling me that, and I mean, I'm not saying that Dwayne Johnson is the greatest actor ever, but I would watch a Dwayne Johnson project over a Vin Diesel project every day of the week. Yet, for some reason, it works for people. So that's, again, I don't want to be like, well, because I don't like it, it's crap. That's not what I'm saying. I don't get it. And that's okay, right? Like, I don't have to get it. I just don't see it, and it floors me every time that we're talking about this movie coming out again and them doing this more and more. I'm like, what am I missing? What's wrong with me?
So this movie did retcon, or I guess it just changed the date of Tokyo Drift. And you mentioned it. I haven't seen any of these movies moving forward, but they do twist the Letty death. So she's not really dead. Spoiler alert. She does come back at some point, which kind of took it away from me in this movie. You know, there's a scene where they're at the funeral and all the cars are kind of there. I imagine that would have hit pretty hard in April of 2009 if you were in for it. But I knew she was coming back. So it kind of felt me a little bit empty. And I wish I didn't know that, because I think I maybe would have enjoyed this movie a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, but it's also kind of the number one rule about main characters. If they die off screen, they're not dead. Like, they never showed Letty dying. All of a sudden, Letty died. I'm like, what? What happened? Letty just died? Like, and then we don't get an explanation besides, you know, Vin's or Dom's creation of it in his mind. So I was like, there's no way she's dead. And then I go ahead and read forward that, no, she comes back. So it, you know, and they, like, he blames one guy here, then he blames another guy later, and then there's another guy. Like, it's like, this is the storyline that just keeps on giving now. Moving forward, I guess you have to have some sort of impetus to make these movies, right? So something that drives Dom, and it's going to be this. And, you know, in this movie, it's just those two as siblings, but wait for it, come the future. John Cena's his brother all of a sudden. It's like, it's just follow, like, you need a whiteboard. We always joke about whiteboards. Yeah. for this franchise, it's like, it clearly feels like they're making it up as they go along. They don't have a Kevin Feige at the top going, whoa, wait a second. That makes zero sense because of this. They just say, yeah, do it. Yes, Vin.
I think they do have their Kevin Feige, and it's Vin Diesel. I think that's fair. So we've chatted about the stars, Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster. A lot of secondary characters in this movie. John Ortiz plays Arturo Braga / Ramon Campos. We also had Gal Gadot pop in for, I don't know if she comes back in the future. What'd you make of the supporting cast? There's some, like, familiar that guy and a lot of that girls in this movie. Did you catch Ramirez from The Dark Knight? She was one of the cops.
Yeah.
So in that same universe, there was one of the detectives from Joker popped up. What'd you think of the supporting cast in this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. This is Gal Gadot's kind of debut too, right? As a film star. So,
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, is her character very deep? No, you know, but you know why she's there, obviously. I think she's done much better work since this movie. But, you know, yeah, it was when I first saw her, I was like, hey, Wonder Woman's in this. Cool. Because, oh, no, wait, we'll save that for Sunday. but yeah, it was like, I was down for it, I think, because now we're going to start to see the one of the things about this movie franchise moving forward now is it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're going to see more and more people involved. Rather, it's not just Vin. The family keeps growing. So
it does.
I mean, it starts here, which is, I was fine with it. Whenever I see a face that's kind of familiar in a movie, or I'm like, what is this movie? It kind of like, okay, at least it has some credence that this person agreed to do it. Although, again, with it being your first motion picture and it's probably your first kind of real big paycheck, I'm sure you just like, yeah, I'll do it for sure. Right. But I wonder, I don't know how many she's in. Maybe she's in more. Trying not to spoil myself too much, but I don't know.
I just checked. She's in a few more moving forward, okay. So that's more surprises for us. So after all this kind of half-hour chatting, I do think I enjoyed this movie probably slightly more than you.
Yeah.
Probably just a little bit more. I kind of liked where they did leave all these characters, though, right? They skip a lot of stuff. You know, Dom gets arrested. He suddenly gets a court date, blah, blah, blah. They kind of sentence him to, 25 years in life? I believe they gave him at the very end. Brian then resigns from the FBI. I'm shocked. Like, wouldn't you just get fired? I know we're talking about logic and everything, but I don't know how he's able to maintain his job. I wish, and I don't want to cheat, but I really hope the next one picks up with that prison break at the very end. Because I do love prison breaks. I'm very fascinated by that. I did kind of like the way this movie ended. Crisp 95 minutes or so, and it got to the point pretty fast.
If we're going to jump to the end, how does Brian hold that dude's leg and Dom drives into him with the car? Or is it the other way around? Whatever. Brian holds the guy's leg and Dom drives into him with the car. And Brian's fine? Like, you kidding me?
He is.
He's just like, you don't get, like, that car hit. Like, where does that car hit him that Brian doesn't get hit? Or that's just, I remember the first time I watched this being like, are you, like, I seriously stopped. I was like, no, that makes zero sense that that's your end. I mean, it looked cool, but looking cool and making sense are not the two things in this movie. It's one or the other.
It always makes me chuckle too, how there is not a single chipped windshield in these movies at all. Hey,
or like when a guy gets punched and punched and punched and he looks back in the next scene, he's his hair is made up again and he looks great. Like, this dude just took a beating, but there's not like a black eye or nothing.
I feel like this movie was really good to set up kind of where we're going to go. We're waiting for this to kind of flip to when everyone got involved and when the public kind of really took this franchise. I think this was it. I think, you know, Fast and Furious was a necessary evil to get to where we're at now. Because I think if you thought this was ridiculous, I really think it just gets cranked up for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12, however many they plan to do. I feel like this was like a soft reboot on the fly and now Vin Diesel's the captain now. And you know what? I'm kind of okay with that. I'm okay with turning my brain off and just watching cars drive super fast for 95 minutes from time to time. I guess I'm slowly understanding why these movies do gross over $1 billion.
Yeah, and maybe that's what I just need to do. Although I think if we're going to do a podcast about it, I don't really want to just shut my brain off and be like, yeah, cool, that was great.
That's true, yep.
So I try to watch it with a little bit of a critical eye, which, again, you shouldn't when you watch these movies, so I get it. I do, like, a couple other things that really just jump out to me. So Dom's sister dies. Dom's wanted by these cops for, you know, for breaking all these laws in the past. There's a funeral. The cops are there. Dom has a house that he goes and hangs out at all the time. Like, is nobody watching these places to like, I would think if, hey, there's a reason, like, we just saw this with Andor, right? They made a big deal about Andor. His mom died. Oh, he'll come back for the funeral. Let's be ready. Even though Andor's across the galaxy somewhere, but he's going to come back. So cops don't think to, like, hey, Dom might come back for his sister's funeral. Maybe we should, like, stake out his house or, you know, have a bunch of eyes at the cemetery. And, I mean, even when there is eyes at the cemetery, they don't look at the one spot where he's standing. It's just, come on.
I think that was referenced. They were going to put eyes on him when he returned. But one of my favorite tropes in movies is the guy watching a funeral from afar. Yeah. Oh, I love that. If someone's watching a funeral from, like, 3 football fields away, I love it. And he was able just to hide as soon as Brian turned his back. Really bad look for law enforcement. Again, a continued theme of these Fast and Furious movies. Real bad cops.
Yeah, and then there's one guy in town that sells nitro meth. And Dom knows that. But these cops that have been on this street racing ring have no idea that there's only one person that sells that certain type of gasoline.
Like, and Dom was able to put 2 and 2 together from the Dominican Republic as well.
Yeah.
He's got eyes all over the place. And then he's a superhero, man.
Yeah. Some of the montages in this series, my God. Then they have the big street race downtown and get no cops. They phone, the one guy phones in a murder somewhere else in town. And they're in LA, right? So
yeah, well, that's what, yeah.
Yeah. Murder gets, like, they're not in, like, you know, Devon, Alberta, where if there's a murder, all the cops would go. It's in LA. You telling me that one phone call gets all the cops off your ass to go look at a murder? Like, no chance.
How do you drive with a GPS? Because there was one street race where they were getting information fed to them in live time. I know they're pro racers and all that kind of stuff, but that'd be really tough to be doing $140 trying to look at your GPS, hey? That'd be a little tough.
Yeah, but me and you can't do it, but they can. That's okay. True. That's okay.
It's about family.
Yeah.
I enjoyed The Fast and Furious. We'll have to take a month off before we do this again.
Cool.
But I did enjoy this one.
Did you fall for the Braga twist that he was the hidden guy the whole time?
Anytime they, like, make up a name, but anytime it's, like, not a super famous actor, I'm a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I know John Ortiz has been in a lot of stuff before, but I'm like, yeah, there's something a little bit wonky with that character.
I just, like, I love how he's in this bar and they're talking to him and he's like, everybody in here would die for him, especially me. I'm like, well, yeah, because you're him. Like, did we all just not figure that out right there?
Gotcha. You got me. Had me going.
Did he? Okay. I just, like, was like, no, this is Braga. We all know this guy is going to be Braga. And then, I mean, the whole thing with the Mexican border, my God. I mentioned it before, the tunnels. Like, that's ludicrous, right?
No, ludicrous was in the last movie and he shows up later. No, that is, yeah. I would imagine those secrets are, like, the border gets patrolled rather regularly, I would safe to say. And those tunnels under mountains, I don't know where they originally brought up, but yeah, that was, I would love to be in the writer's room when that came up. Like, we'll just put tunnels. No one will ask questions. Not a lot of questions were asked, I think, in this movie.
Yeah, there was no, hey, let's take another run at that. It's like, yes, Vin, sounds good, Vin. Okay, Vin. Cool, Vin. Blow it up, Vin. I don't know.
Hey, it makes their money back. These movies make Universal a ton of money.
There's
like theme parks now. Like, that's, I don't get it. Well, I keep saying I don't get it, but I absolutely do get it. There is a large percentage of people who love to go to see these movies every couple years and spend their $20 and their 2 hours in a movie theater because they've kind of grown up with these characters, right? Like, the Fast franchise is the MCU to a large group of people.
Okay.
And they would, and everything we pick apart about these movies, they'll pick apart about the MCU.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I'm not trying to, as much as I'm crapping on the movie, I'm also looking at it as, this is not for me, and that's okay. So you're right. Like, people enjoy it, that's great. I'm glad you enjoy it. If you're sitting there calling me an idiot, that's fine too. I don't care. I if you were of, let's say you were, I don't know, 16 when the first one came out, and you're like, cool, this is awesome. that was when, what, the first one came out in 2002
around
so
there,
now yeah. You're that was 20 something years ago, 23 years ago, 22 years ago, so now you're like approaching 40. Are you still watching these with the same sort of are you still into it, or are you like, do you have a bit of more of a critical lens now, like, or is this just your, you know what, shut everything off, popcorn, drink, explosions?
I would say you're still into it. Could probably bring your kids now. If you were 18 years old and the first one came out, I think you're still into it. Like, how many... Is there a film franchise? I'm trying not to be a completionist as I used to be, but is there a film franchise that you've just kind of given up on? Or do you just feel like you need to finish them? Because I have one I kind of think of. Like, you're kind of out on the Harry Potters, aren't you? I know they've gone different. But are you kind of out on those ones?
I'd still watch them. I still watch them all. And I mean, I'd still go back and watch the old ones. I just have a different feel on it because of everything away from the camera now, you know?
Yep, for sure.
I can't think of a franchise that I was into that I dropped off. I mean, I guess kind of Transformers. I was kind of into it with a grain of salt, saying, yeah, these aren't my Transformers, but I still watched the first few, and then it just got to the point where I'm like, I'm out. So maybe that one, although maybe we'll go back to those, who knows?
Probably. James Bond is kind of one for me, too, just because there's so many, right? Yeah. There's, what, 20 plus of them now? I haven't seen all of them. I feel like I've seen a lot of them, but there's just a lot. And I think they are two different quality movies, that James Bond franchise compared to this. But I do think they wouldn't be making these movies if the returning fans kept coming back and then bringing friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like the kid who saw it when he was 16... probably now brings his two kids to watch these movies, right? So they wouldn't be making these movies if they weren't still making billions of dollars.
Yeah, no, and that's totally fair. And maybe James Bond's a really kind of good sort of comparison for this, because, you know, I know when you look back at the Sean Connery ones now, they seem kind of quaint, but they were kind of ludicrous at the time, you know? Like, he's doing weird stuff and stuff that nobody should be able to get away with, like... Is this a little bit of a James Bond on steroids, this Vin Diesel character? A little bit, you know?
Maybe that's how he pitched it.
Yeah, maybe, right?
I'm back. No one can tell me no, and I'm going to keep cranking out these movies. Well, I'm excited. I did cheat, and I looked ahead to Fast 5, and my wish was answered.
What's that? What's your wish?
It does start up with the Prison Break.
Oh,
apparently Fast 5 picks up like right when that ends up. So I might even fire up Fast 5 as soon as we're done recording.
I will not be. I'll be waiting till last moment before we do the podcast.
That's fair.
You know, there's this point where Dom and Brian are in the desert and they're souped up cars in the middle of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, these old like 80s cars come out of nowhere and find them. And then when they chase them, these little like street legal cars keep up with Dom and Brian's supercharged cars in the middle of the desert. That didn't make any sense.
That's fair. There's a lot of things that didn't quite make sense. If you were to remove all that stuff, this movie would be like 12 minutes long. It would just be people like getting... if this were realistic, it would just be people stuck in Los Angeles traffic.
Yeah.
Just like swearing and then flipping the radio station constantly. That's what, if these movies were real, that's what it would be.
I feel like I just went into the Chris Farley show. Like, remember that time you were in the Beatles? That was cool. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. No, you're right. There is no traffic in LA in these movies. There are no cops in LA in these movies. They are just what they are. They're there for you to enjoy, turn off your mind, and just sit down and get away from life for 95 minutes. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. I think I know I could use it right now, just to kind of go away from everything and put it away and not have to hear the name Danielle Smith for 95 minutes. It would be nice.
Well, we can do this again in 1 month when we do Fast 5. We'll have our regular news dumps coming in, a couple other things before Christmas, but I'm sorry I made you watch Fast and Furious, and I'm sorry I'm going to make you watch Fast 5 and then Fast 6. And then Fast 7.
They got to get better.
And then you hope. Let's just jump ahead quickly. Fast 8 is called The Fate of the Furious. I think it's called The Fate of the Furious. But they didn't put the 8 in it. Like, that just seems like a missed opportunity. We'll get to that in like 3 months' time. I got us sidetracked at the very end. I enjoyed this movie. Thank you for watching it. And I can't wait to watch Fast 5.
Yeah, why isn't that F8 of the Furious?
Because they don't know what they're doing. It's a mess.
Vin, fix that. Vin.
If you're listening, tell you what, in 3 days, we'll talk about some stuff we actually want to talk about. Fair?
Sounds good.